Well, I want to share with you something that you can pick up, or your family or friends have. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, and if you go to the rail, they have, in this one that I'm reading to you, I got from a church in New York City, they will give you a little tiny card, which is, and this is the title, The 15 Promises of Mary to Christians Who Recite the Rosary. So what I'm reading to you is something that is handed out at Catholic churches all over the world. And I want to just read it for you and systematically compare it to the Scripture, okay? Let's just do the first one, okay? This is what Mary says in this first promise. I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite this rosary. Now, just think about this. And for a verse, let's look at the omnipresence of God. Look at the Psalm 139. Go right in the middle of your Bible. This is one of the key attributes of our God in heaven. Psalm 139, verse 7. In fact, this is one we teach to our children. It's one I teach to my children. When they're afraid of the dark, or when they're afraid to walk, you know, out to get the dog at night because it's too dark, and you know, what are we going to do? Or if they're afraid that mom and dad are in a different, you know, we're on the first floor and they're in the second. What do you teach them? You teach them that God is with them. And it's so exciting when they learn this. I remember when one of our children was only 3 years old, and I remember specifically in his little bed going through this whole lesson that I'm going to go through on the omnipresence of God. And when I got all done, and I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for him. You know, because I said God was here. So he had one eye open from the prayer, and he was looking for God. And so he understood that God, look at verse 7, where can I go, Psalm 139, 7, from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. We call that the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere present, totally present, not a part of him. It's not like the ever-extended cable, and if you get a cable too long and a signal going through it, the signal weakens as it goes through the cable because you're only getting a piece of the whole. And I'm not talking about your cell phone. The further away from the tower you get, the weaker and crackled and distorted it gets. Everywhere God is equally present. He is all here, and he is all with others who aren't here, and he is all with every believer everywhere in the world, equally the same. He's all with all of them. That's what the doctrine of God's omnipresence is. All of him is everywhere present. But Mary does not have that attribute. Now I want to recite the rosary for you again. I promise, she said, my special protection and the greatest graces to all who shall recite the rosary. I think that's noble, but how does she know who's reciting it? And how can she hear more than one if she was still on the earth to hear them? And if she was on the earth, how could she get around to all of them that these cards are passed out by the thousands or the millions? And the first point is, Mary is not omnipresent. And the greatest problem with this error of Romanism is that they, the corpus magisterium, corpus body magisterium of teachings, the body of teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, has set forth and ascribed to Mary attributes that are only God's. This is just a little one. They do a lot. And they ascribe to her deity, divinity, divine attributes, the immutable character of God. They ascribe to her. Amazing. Here's another one. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. By repeating these. So prayers to her, that's the rosary, will be a powerful armor against hell. Now that's interesting. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. How about Romans 13? On your way by, just stop Romans 13. It's clear in Romans 13, the last verse. You know what Ephesians 6 says. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual evil and wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, right? Well, look at what Romans 13 says. It says, verse 14 of Romans 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but what are you supposed to put him on as? Well, Look at verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness. That would be vice, sin, heresies, and hell. Cast those off and let us put on the armor of light. A few months ago, we studied the armor of God and went through every piece of the armor and talked about it. And the conclusion of the entire period of time we spent studying it was putting on the armor is equal to putting on Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 13:14 says, put on Jesus Christ. So, Mary is omniscient now because she knows when we have vice in our life and when we commit sins and when we hear heresies, and she will come in and combat them. And she will be our helmet of salvation, and she will be our shield of faith, and she will be our breastplate of truth that will keep our hearts from vice and sin and heresy. See, again, I mean, this is not any polemic writer against Romanism. This is their gospel truth, that she does all this. But God says, no, Jesus does that, my son. He is the only one who is your armor against hell. And the problem with Romanism is that people are going to march and are marching and have been marching for 16 centuries, and they're marching out into the darkness and into death wearing the wrong armor. And they're not having armor against hell. They're having armor that leads them to hell because they have embraced Mary as their armor instead of Christ as their righteousness.